So let's all stand and turn in our Bibles once again to 1 Timothy chapter 2. As I continue my series, Make America Godly Again, and then She Will Be Great Again, part 11, Praying Through the Bible, number 372. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, here's the first thing that needs to be done, and it needs to be done continuously, because Paul, the Lord through Paul, told us to pray without ceasing. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. He gave a parable to that end, to that purpose, to that aim. That's the first thing we need to be doing. And the tragic fact is most so-called Christians do not pray as they should, and everybody knows it. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The country would be in better shape if we had more pastors praying, more so-called church leaders praying, instead of trying to be seen with the president. Pray for the president and for the country. We wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. Folks who are our friends won't be getting killed right now if somebody was praying over there in Syria. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You must remember, Paul had a special anointing and was led by the Holy Spirit of God in his writing. And I'm sure he was able to see things that we can't see. But he was confident that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. If you can't do anything else, pray. Pray. You ought to pray and do other things, but pray. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So prayer is connected with soul saving. Without prayer, the gospel moves very slowly. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Prayer is connected to salvation. Very few people will get saved if the saints don't pray. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Men pray everywhere. Ian Bounds wrote a book and titled a section of it, The Need for Praying Men. Paul said it a long time ago, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I want to point out that men ought to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, hands that are not grabbing the hips, of a woman that they're not married to, holy hands, hands that are not mixing meth and cocaine, holy hands that are clean and pure and without wrath, without anger, and without doubting, not mad at your wife, not mad at your children, and full of wrath towards them, not doubting God, depressed, wanting to commit suicide. And I have to point this out. Not beating up your wife, full of wrath, not abusing your children with your unholy hands. I have to point that out because, yes, the men have caused problems in the church. That's a fact. And men must take most of the responsibility for the problems in the church. God's going to hold you, hold us men responsible. So you might as well take responsibility. I have to bring that out because in verse 9, and we've already dealt with verse 8, I want you to understand that the prayer theme continues. This is all about prayer. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, hands that have not touched another man's wife, holy hands that have not violated and raped a girl, holy hands without wrath, not mad as the devil all the time, uncontrolled anger, up and down in your emotions because you doubt God and His Word. You don't fear God because you doubt God. You don't believe God. You don't believe in God. You don't believe His Word, and so you doubt God. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. But the prayer theme continues with the women. In like manner also, pay close attention to those four words. In like manner also. I can tell right now this is going to be rough. In like manner also, the women ought to be praying, is the point. And here's how they show their preparation for prayer. Men need to have holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves. They normally don't have it has increased in our modern time, but normally it's not the women with the unholy hands and who are full of wrath and doubting. It's the men. But we have more and more women that way today as well. We have some mannish women today. Verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. You're not going to hear this down at in most churches today, so enjoy it while you can. Modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And I'll come back to that interesting and strange word, shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided, that is braided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness. Parenthetical. Notice these five words. It's all about verse 10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. And even though I'm moving right along, allow me to say here, men ought to be modest in their dress as well. But see, it cannot be a perfunctory thing, a mechanical thing. It can't be us going to the edge and saying, am I going across the line here? Everybody knows what they're doing when they dress themselves. Men know what women like. Men know what attracts women because they've worn it before. I lost, by the grace of God, since I started preaching on gluttony, I preached to myself first, I lost 40 pounds by the grace of God, and I have been amazed. I told my wife, every time I go out, women, black and white and red and yellow, comment on how handsome I look, and all of that. I'm normally dressed up in a suit, but I'm not trying to do that. I guess they just notice the weight loss. I don't know. So I guess if you want attention, just lose some weight. But I'm dressed modestly. And preachers, above all, ought to dress modestly. We got preachers with jewelry and trinkets and stuff hanging down from their wrists and gold chains and all kinds of stuff and $600 suits, $1,600 suits, $2,000 suits, alligator shoes. All that's unnecessary. That's not modest right there. Men are the dress modest. See, but it can't be a perfunctory thing, a mechanical thing, and am I going overboard? You ought not even ask yourself that question. This is an inner thing, man. God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to be modest in the way that you dress. Particularly when you go to church, particularly if you're professing being a Christian out in public, you are not to be dressing to attract attention. That's for men and women. That's for both sides. You notice that I wear black all the time. One of the reasons why is because I don't want to ever be seen like these prosperity gospel preachers. All slicked up and all of that. I don't want to be a part of that. And so I've been doing this for years. And it's just anything. It's nothing great about me or anything. I'm super spiritual. And more and more people understand this. It's about Christ in you who leads you to be modest in how you dress and how you carry yourself. And women ought to be modest in their dress, but it must come from the heart. Their modesty must come from the heart, and this is connected to prayer. Now let me just say something to you. Some of you women are not getting your prayers answered because you got your booty out in public showing your behind to the men who are trying to pray in the church. Don't you know you're wrong. You may be seated. I'm going to be here a while. You may be seated. God bless you for your patience. You know you're wrong. You know you check yourself. You twist yourself around in the mirror. That'll get them looking. I saw a survey the other day why young women wear skinny jeans. The first reason is to get the attention of men. I asked somebody the other day, why do you wear that? This was a family member. Why do you wear skinny jeans? And she didn't have a good reason. I said, do you feel more protected in case danger strikes or something? And no. And she couldn't give me a clear answer. But I believe it's the same reason why so many other women do it, trying to get attention. You like attention. And there's some women who are sick for attention. They have no intention on doing anything. Pardon me. But they just love attention. You're not going to hear this in the mega churches today. You're not going to hear this even in the so-called evangelical churches. But you know you're wrong. Men and women. Men coming, showing up at church in muscle shirts and flexing their little abs and arms, knowing that turns on certain women. Got their short shorts on real tight, showing everything, trying to entice somebody. Men and women do it. Some people have been doing it so long they're unconscious. They don't even recognize the evil they're doing anymore. But I want to point out to you that if you're doing this, if you're dressing immodestly, there's something wrong with you on the inside. There's something wrong on the inside. Maybe your mother did not love you. Maybe your father did not love you growing up. And you seek attention in all the wrong ways. I'm here to tell you, though, if you are born again Christian, child of God, male or female, you're not going to be flashy. You're just not. You're not going to even move in that direction. You're going to be modest in your spirit, modest in the way you dress. We're not talking about what you do with your husband and what you do with your wife. You can wear a muscle shirt at home with your wife. You can wear a skimpy little nightgown for your husband at home, but we don't need to see all of that and all your lace and your buttocks and your cleavage. We don't need to see all of that. Okay? Nobody does. And in this day and time, it's not only the men lusting. My God, to help us. We got women who want to jump women. God help us. In the church. And it's my job to tell you that you can do what you want to do. You can do what you want to do. But you will answer to God for your behavior. And you wonder why you're not getting your prayers answered? Because you're not obedient to this. You want to pray dressed in skinny jeans that looks like you stood on the dresser and poured yourself into them. I don't know how in the world you get in them or out of them. Looks like a jail uniform. And then there are, and you don't understand how you look to people, even the men. Men look at you and saying, you're just trying too hard. Trying too hard. You're trying to get attention too much. You seem desperate. And the last thing on earth you want a man to think about you is that you're desperate. And what entice them is what you need to keep, you're going to have to keep them with if you can, and you won't be able to do so. And so oftentimes you end up in a fetal position after having sex with somebody who does not care anything about you. All he sees is those genes. We have women walking around and crying and boo-hooing and saying, he doesn't love me. Let me tell you something about men in love. Men love all women who look good. Trust me when I tell you that. We thank God for the few romantics that are left. I'm not one of them, and I don't know too many of them. But most men, they love all women who look good to them. I said the other day, men fall in love at first sight all day long. It's not the right kind of love. It's a lustful, eros type deal. But be that as it may, the Word of God says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. You will do this because of the Holy Spirit of God in you, Jesus Christ in you, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair. Anything you're doing with the hair to bring attention to yourself. And my soul, women do all kinds of things with their hair. I'm amazed. Well, it's not their hair, it's other folks' hair, but they got hair standing up sideways and up and around. Next time you see them, it's out here, and it's not their hair, it's either horse hair or some Asian lady's hair that they pay hundreds of dollars for. And you think it makes you look good, but it doesn't. You would look much better with your natural hair. But you don't want to hear that. You just want a quick fix to try to fool somebody into thinking that you have long hair and you don't. Just like the other day, a beautiful black lady, reporter, she was out interviewing somebody, and I don't even know what kind of animal it was. It was a crazy animal. And the animal jumped on her head. I guess the animal knew something was not quite right. And pulled off the black woman's wig. And she had her hair in, you know, braids and everything. And the animal got off of her somehow. And that little animal trainer, he did not do a good job. Because the animal came back for more. I want to finish taking that wig off your head. The tragedy of wearing fake hair. You need to stop doing it, people, and wear your own hair that God gave you. God knows, he still knows how many hairs you got on top of your head. And that does not include that hair you bought from that Asian lady. Or that Indian lady over there in India. That's not the purpose. Just be modest. Stop trying to be cute. It does not get you anywhere. Anyway, you think men want that and all that. Men want natural, man. They want natural. They don't want to see something different at the house. They want to see the real you. I know you don't like it. I know you don't hear this. You're not going to hear this. Pastors are not going to preach on this because they'll lose you. They'll lose you, your family, and your money. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's what makes you beautiful. Your inner attitude, your inner spirit. And I'm here to tell you, some of y'all, you can do whatever you want to do. You can go to the mall and spend all day spending your money. You still going to be ugly because you got an ugly attitude. You got an ugly spirit. You're mean as the devil. And God knows it. Your husband knows it. And you know it. Your children know it. I don't see any need in a woman dressing up and putting all the makeup on and wearing gold and rings and gold apparel, gold bracelets and fine apparel, and she's mean as the devil. I've never seen that, the need for that. You need to focus on your inner beauty, making sure that you're beautiful on the inside. There's nothing more attractive than that. There's no greater turn on than for a man than a woman who's beautiful on the inside. On the inside, no guile, no lying, no game playing, knows how to serve her man, satisfy her man. See, most of you women don't understand that a man does not take that much. You can take care of a man in less than an hour, and you got the other 23 hours to do what you want to do. You can get the card from him, get the cash from him, and go to the mall and sit down with your girlfriends. You give that man 3 good meals, take care of his children, make sure they're taken care of, give him a remote control, and take care of him sexually. You good to go. I mean, you good to go. Yeah, but some of you women don't understand it because your mother never taught you that. The man don't want you around him all day long. He wants you to do what you need to do and take care of him, and he'll take care of you. He'll look out for you. And do it with a smile. Do it with a great attitude and a great spirit. Some of you don't need to get married. The last thing on earth, may God help you, the last thing on earth you need to do, I don't care if you're in Africa, I don't care if you're in Asia, I don't care if you're in India tonight, I don't care if you are in Europe. Some of you women don't need to get married. You just don't. Because you're mean as the devil and you know it. What you can do, though, is tell the man you're mean as the devil. He might marry you then, because you have warned him. But most of you girls, young ladies, you sneak up on him. He thought he married an angel, and he turns over and looks at you at night and realizes he married a devil. So let the woman learn. Okay, let me just finish this part right here, because I know I'm going to have some folk tune out here shortly. But I'm not dealing with all of this tonight. I do want you to understand that all of this is connected to your prayer life. If you are putting on certain clothes so that Deacon Butter and Deacon Bo Peep can give you a nice big hug again, because you're so needy and so wicked, even though they're married, you want to see those dimples again. You want to see that smile again from him. You want to hear that Now, you ought not be hearing that in church at all. You'll not be seeing those devilish eyes at church. And it used to happen in the traditional church, but it's happening now in the evangelical church. That's where so many preachers are falling. Watch these pastors who always want to make a beeline to you and hug you. I don't care if they're married or not. And some of you women are just silly-minded. Silly-minded. You're so hungry for affection and love, you're silly-minded. And I hate to say it. I hate to bring it up. I'm sorry. But this woman accusing Matt Lauer of raping her, he may have, I don't know. But you don't need to be, young lady, in this man's hotel room, in the first place. You're not stupid. And maybe you are. Maybe you are naive. I don't know. But young lady, you should not be in this man's hotel room. For what? Discussing what? It's ridiculous. And we got, and some of these women are going to lose their cases because of this foolishness. You wear your no panties under your yoga outfit, and you want somebody to say something to you, and as soon as they say something to you, you want to cry, me too. You want the attention, then you try to show your behind in front of your girlfriend. Look at this old pervert, look at him. No, you're the pervert. You walking around in yoga pants with no drawers on and your breasts pushed up. What's that about? I thought you were going to exercise. Why you all pushed up? Everything all perky. See, you're doing it for attention, and then once you get the attention, you want to blame somebody and accuse somebody. And quite frankly, this stuff needs to stop, even in the church. And it would stop if everybody dressed modestly. So I don't want to wear no burlock sack. Nobody talking about wearing no burlock sack. I don't want to be wearing no box. First of all, let me tell you something about men. They can look at your face and tell what you got going on. They don't need to see anything. Trust me. They can look at your face and can tell whether or not you're fine. You don't have to show them. Ray Charles was blind. You know how he found out whether or not a woman was fine? He would touch her on the arm and squeeze her arm, see if she was fat, P-H-A-T, fat. He was blind as a bat, but he can tell whether or not a woman was fine in every area. Not fat, F-A-T, no. P-H-T, P-H-A-T. You don't have to show no skinny jeans. You're showing everything. For what? You're not going to get anything from that. But somebody just to use you, and then you're going to feel like nothing. And that's the reason why women want to sue. Because they're hurt. They want to sue after they have consensually had sex with a man, and now they want to sue because that man went back to his wife, and she sees him in church every Sunday sitting by his wife with his 2.5 children, just as happy as a jaybird, ain't thinking about her. Until the next time he wants to fling. And next time normally comes and is on and on and on and on, and the more that happens, the more damage you do to your soul and to your spirit. And you wonder why you're in a fetal position, mad as the devil. Now you want to tear down her life, the wife's life, the children's life, his life, and your own life. And quite frankly, some Me Too women need to go home and sit down and shut up and read a book, because they are embarrassing themselves. They look ridiculous. This young lady today looks ridiculous. She should have never brought that up. Let it go. You should not have been in the man's room, in the hotel room. A man invites you to the hotel room, there's no business going to be talked about, other than the business that happens between a man and a woman. And both of you know what's going on. I'm staying too long. I have to go. But which becometh women professing godliness? If you are a woman of God, profess godliness. Dress appropriately. And do good works. If you're not married, wait your turn. Stop trying to get the attention of the pastor. Stop acting like the old ladies used to say, fast. Look at you. You see, the old black women, they knew what was in you. They can look at you, what you're trying to do. And they'll call you from the front porch, come here, girl. Now, you're going to end up pregnant, messing with Bo Peep over there. Okay, I know what you're doing. Look at you, how you dress. Got your little halter shirt on. Got your tail out. I know what you're doing. And you just grinning your head off, aren't you? Now, when that ravening wolf dog get a hold of you, he's going to wipe that grin off your face. So stop being so fast. Now, I can preach like this because I have raised many daughters. And none of the daughters that I have raised got pregnant in my house. Now, what they do when they leave, that's between them and God. I thank God that my sons have not gotten anybody pregnant, and my daughters have never been pregnant. We haven't even thought about that. It's not even an issue. So I can preach on this. I wrote the book on it, on what women should do. I listed all of the dogs that you need to avoid. And that's right, men are dogs. They're nasty dogs. And I'm a man. I love being a man. I thank God he made me a man. I'm not mad at men. I'm just stating a fact. And I don't know why women want to go use a man's bathroom. Men are some of the nastiest animals on earth. 95% of the men never wash their hands because they're so scared somebody might rob them. Nasty as they can be. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Oh, hell's getting ready to break loose now. And I'm not dealing with that tonight. I know we got some hungry women running across the country and want to preach to men. Baptist women. Bible women. Now they want to preach to men. Evangelical. I'm not talking about Pentecostal, holiness, sanctified, all that. I was raised in both traditions. The Baptist tradition and a Pentecostal holiness tradition. I know what I'm talking about. And I'll deal with that later, okay? I'm not going to deal with that tonight. I'm dealing with modesty tonight. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp. Let all the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Say, preacher, you don't believe a woman ought to preach over a man? No. No, I don't. It's out of order. And that's what we're dealing with. If we want to be great again in this country, we need to be godly again. And judgment must begin at the house of God. And the house of God is out of order today. It's out of order, people. And you're not, listen to me. And I'm preaching, I'm being obedient to God. I know. You're not going to get it back in order, most of you. Noah preached a long time. Nobody listened. And we thank God for the hundreds who listen to me preach every week, every day, thousands every week. But I know you. I've been in your churches, both black, white, red, yellow, all kinds, all around the world, across this country. I know you. You have no intention on repenting and changing. I hope to God you will, but it's out of order. Many churches, I would say the larger percentage of churches are basically run by the pastor's wife. Why? Because she runs him. Listen to me. Listen to me. This has been going on for years. See, the problem in the church is the family. The family is out of order, so therefore the church is out of order. The truth of the matter is everybody knows it, particularly in the black church, and more now in the white church, and in the brown church, and in the yellow church, and in the red church. Women run the church because they run the men. I know pastors who can give you war stories on how they talk with the men on Saturday about renovating the church building, and the pastor told the men not to tell their wives. They went home and told their wives anyway, and they all agreed and voted they were going to do it, and all 13 came back on Sunday and said, "Pastor, I don't know about that." You know what happened? Pillow talk. Many men today are whipped. And all you who know a little slang, you know what I'm talking about. They're sex whipped. They're controlled and dominated. Everybody knows it, and you don't want to admit it. Everybody know, they know it's true. Most men in the church today have been sex whipped. They are dominated by their wives, controlled by their wives. They're henpecked, and I don't even want to deal with them. The church is out of order, and we want to try to save America. No, we need to save the church. We need to save our families first. America will never be great if the church is not great. So if we want America to be great again, we must be godly again. For Adam was first formed. For Adam was first formed. Then Eve. This is the divine order. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. I'm not dealing with this tonight. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This is the reason why you must read the Bible in context. You need to, and I am not the best expository preacher, but you need to stick with the text so that you can understand what's going on. Everything I just read, most people do not understand. This is connected to prayer. And the reason why we're not getting our prayers answered is because people are disobedient to this passage in the church. And most pastors know it's true, but they can't change it now. Because the women will rebel and revolt if the pastor and his wife try to get them to wear more modest dresses and outfits. They will lose members and money. But you're sinning against God when your heart is not right to wear modest apparel, knowing that you are causing a problem. You are tempting people who are trying to do the right thing, male and female. And of course, I haven't even touched the sermon yet tonight that my son Daniel Ezekiel White and I worked on together today. And he was trying to save me, I guess, because he didn't want me to preach on this. But I said, "Son, I have to do it. I have to do it." And so we changed things. Leah Darrow, and I'm going to close with this. This is really the opening of the sermon, but I'm going to close with it tonight. And I'll see you next week if the Lord tarries is coming and we live. You say, well, I won't be here. I tell you that. Well, then I got you tonight. So I got you tonight. Leah Darrow said, modesty is more than just a hemline. And that's another thing. Young women wearing not only tight pants, but short dresses. I went to an evangelical church one time. I went to an evangelical Bible church. And I thank God for the pastor and his wife, but his daughter was dressed in a short miniskirt. She was in college. It was ridiculous. Anyway, Leah Darrow said, modesty is more than just a hemline. This is all about prayer. How you live your life determines whether or not your prayers are heard now. How you carry yourself. It is an interior disposition that influences not only our dress, but our thoughts and actions. Now, the truth of the matter is, my wife did not help me much in raising our children. I pretty much raised them by myself. But I taught my daughters, and this is what they did when they were here. They wore dresses, modest dresses. Probably too modest, because one day we were traveling and they walked into McDonald's, and while they were walking through the door, a lady walked out and said, are your clothes made by your mother? And she didn't mean any harm. She just could tell if they were homemade. Now, as my daughters have graduated from college and now they're in a church that allows that kind of immodest dressing, pants and so forth, and they trying to fit in, have chosen to do that as well. They're grown on their own. They can do what they want. But they're wrong. They're still wrong. I don't care who it is. It's immodest. It's not a temptation to me. Because they're my daughters, but it's a temptation to other people. And it's wrong. And your prayers are going to be hindered if you disobey God's word. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to do things right in the house of God. I have about 7 or 8 paragraphs in this message. And I kind of figured it was going to be like this. That God was going to just fill me up, because this is a problem in the church. You say, well, you're being legalistic. No, I'm just reading the Bible to you. It's not a matter of being legalistic. Skinny jeans are immodest. Yoga pants are immodest. Muscle shirts on men, that's immodest. Shorts in church is immodest. And I told some preachers one time, I think I wrote an article on it. Now, if ESPN newscasters and all have to wear suits and ties, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, what's with all of this dressing down stuff with preachers today? Wearing shorts in the pulpit and sports shirts and all this immodest dress. And so, ladies and gentlemen, think about it. Are your prayers being hindered because you are dressing immodestly? Your heart is, you don't have a modest heart, be you male or female. Are you drawing attention to yourself? If you lose weight, man, naturally, I'm not talking about no surgery. If you lose weight naturally, and you and people say, oh, you look great, that's fine. As long as you dress modestly. You're not trying to bring any attention to yourself. I wear black and white every day, black every day. I don't have any colorful suits. I'm not saying you have to do that. But the point is, you need to be modest. Don't bring attention to yourself. Focus on God and reflect back to God. Have, when people see you, they think about the Lord. And they don't see you as a floozy trying to get attention. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close tonight. But I want to emphasize with you that what we just read is connected to prayer. It impacts your prayer life. Just like if a man comes to church with unholy hands, full of wrath, and all of that, God's not going to hear his prayers. Same thing with women not being modest on the inside and on the outside. The church is out of order. And so by the grace of God, we'll be here a while. And the true Christians who love Jesus, even though they may be wrong, they'll come back. And those who just want to be entertained, they won't. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you for your holy word, even though it is uncomfortable for your people and some people who are not your people. People do not want to hear the truth. You told us why they would not endure sound doctrine. This is just common. It's not only your holy word, but it's common sense. And yet we don't want to hear it. We don't want to do it. We think that we're right with you and we're wrong with you. So, Lord, have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures and our faults. And forgive us of disobeying your holy word, no matter how we may feel about it. It doesn't matter how we feel. Your holy word is very clear. And this ought not to be a perfunctory, mechanical thing. It ought to be in our hearts to be modest and not be flashy and bring attention to ourselves. And if it's your will for us to be married or to meet someone, the way to do it is for us to trust in you, like everything else. So, Holy Father God, I pray for your church. I pray, Lord, for all of us who are Christians. Lord, that you will help us to get things back in order in your church. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you and to get back to you, our first love, and to get things back in order as they should be in the family and in the church. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, forgive us of our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. For, Lord, if we're walking in your Holy Spirit, this will be easy to do. Help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight, you heard that message and you may not have understood much of it. I was talking primarily to people who claim to be believers already, but are disobedient. Now I'm talking to you. You have never been born again. You've never been saved. If you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner. We all are sinners. I am a sinner. And that we have broken God's laws, and the truth of the matter is we have broken God's heart. We have hurt God because of our sins, just like your children hurt you when they sin. You're disappointed. And I don't know how God has taken it, really, to be honest with you. But He's not going to take it always. You talk about love. The love of God is amazing. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have messed up. Everybody in their right mind will admit that. We do have some people who will say and lie and say they've never sinned before. And we know they have sinned because they're lying at that moment. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. For Jesus Christ said, thirdly, accept the fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place, and you cannot save yourself from it, for we are saved by grace through faith. You must trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hell is bad news, and it's important that I preach on hell. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, and it is important that I preach on it and that other preachers preach on it today, because if you died tonight, and you could die tonight, and you're not saved, that's where you're going. You're going straight to hell. And so it's important that you understand that. I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell forever, "but have everlasting life." You must understand that if you die without trusting Christ, you will go to hell forever. If you trust Christ, you will go to heaven forever. Going to heaven forever is better, okay? I hope you understand that. So sin is not worth it. Living an ungodly lifestyle is not worth it. Go ahead and trust Christ as your Savior today. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's as simple as that. I bring that up because I didn't know what being saved meant when I was a child, growing up in church. And I'm convinced the devil has hid that from many people. You're being saved from hell ultimately, eternal hell, and you're being saved to eternal heaven when you trust Christ as Savior. That's the beginning point. And then all of the peace and the joy and the order in your life and all of that happens if you're obedient to God and to His Word. So if you want to be saved tonight, if you want to take the first step, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me phrase by phrase, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied. I've stolen things. I've lusted after people and things. I've dishonored and disrespected and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have disrespected you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart tonight and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved. Next Wednesday night, be here or nowhere. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.